You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your host here, Colt Molesky, bringing you daily Timberwolves content. Make sure to check out the LockedOn.com website. It's a convenient place to find MLB, NFL, NBA, and college content. Some great shows from great hosts every single day, just like this podcast. Every single day, fantastic sports coverage. Today, we're going to be talking about last night's game, what went wrong, a couple things that went right, and how the Timberwolves can try and turn around this road trip. Because right now, 2-9 on the road, you don't want to have it go like the last West Coast road trip, right? You don't want it to be an 0-5 stint where you're going your head shaking. Wow, how did some of these games get away from us? We're a better team than this. They've shown this at home. We're a better team than this. So we're going to finish out the podcast by asking ourselves, what can they do differently to finish out this road trip when they're playing teams like the Kings, like the Suns? What can they do to try and improve and not go for another West Coast over? So first, let's talk about that game last night. Timberwolves, if you didn't see it, they played the Golden State Warriors primetime television, and they lost 116-108. Now, that box score shows a close game, shows an 8-point game, but really, if you're watching this, it didn't really feel like an 8-point game at any point. There was one tie in this game. Other than that, the Timberwolves trailed the entirety of this game, and it was quite amazing if you're not a Timberwolves fan what the Warriors did. The first quarter, let me spell it out for you. The first quarter, you had Kevin Durant scored 11 points. The second quarter, it was Klay Thompson's turn. He scored 13 points. Then you move on to the second half. Second half was really Curry's time, because third quarter, you had 14 points from Steph Curry. And then in the fourth quarter, they closed out the game with 11 points from Curry. So really, you had early on, the Warriors players kind of trained the ball up back and forth. Now it's your turn to go off. And then Curry finished out the game for this team. It was unfortunate. I noted on Twitter last night that the Timberwolves were allowing at the halftime, the Timberwolves were allowing the Warriors to shoot 43%, but they were staying in the game with 52% shooting, I believe it was, from the field at the time. And while that worked for a little bit, they really needed to generate something from outside, really try and stretch that team out. Because again, like I was talking about yesterday with Daniel Hardy, who is a writer for SB Nation covering the Warriors, like I was talking about with him, it's really hard for the Timberwolves to expect everything to run through Towns and to really expect him to beat them and not shoot well from outside, not give him a lot of spacing. And you saw that late in that game. You saw that late in that fourth quarter. Towns was really struggling because there was three guys in the paint on him a lot of the times. A lot of times in that second half, there was a lot of players on him in the paint. And that's because the Timberwolves shot 28% from three. That's really what it comes down to, is they were not able to spread the floor. I mean, you had Covington go 1-for-5. You had Wiggins go 3-of-6. You had Towns go 1-of-4. You had Sarge go 0-for-3. And you had some guys really struggle. But also, if you're shooting only 25 times, I know they weren't shooting well, but gosh, they really needed spacing to come from somewhere. And maybe you have Wiggins shoot a few more times. He had some dry spells in that game, ended with 20 points. I know you had Towns with 31 points and 11 rebounds, was the big player in this game for the Timberwolves. And you maybe want to feed him more, but I don't know. It just felt like if you could find spacing somewhere, and the guys weren't hitting when they needed to be hitting, but if you maybe try a little more concerted effort, it just, when you shoot 25 times from three and you're only hitting seven of those times, obviously it's not going to space the floor. But you also got to really try and hope that Covington can start catching lightning in a bottle, or Saric, or somebody, and maybe try a few more threes. I know that sounds bad after going 7 of 25. Maybe shoot a couple more threes, try and find something. But that was the only way they were getting into this game, because they weren't beating the Warriors with twos, and they definitely weren't beating with their perimeter defense. The Warriors shot 19 of 43 from outside. They were 44% from the 3-point line. You had Curry, 50%, 7 of 14. Durant, 4 of 7, 57%. 4 of 7 for Thompson, 57% again. I mean, the defense clearly wasn't going to do anything about the Warriors knocking down everything from outside. And so the best way to combat it, if your defense is going to do anything about it, is you've got to try something. You've got to try and stretch the floor and space it out some way. You've got to try and pull this defense some way. And they just weren't able to find it, and they weren't able to push. A couple other notes from this game before I get into first let's go over some of the guys, some of the disappointments before I get to the silver line. Let's put it that way. I do think there's a silver line to take from this game, but let's get into some more of the headaches here real quick. First of all, Teague is... it's getting harder and harder for me to defend T. It just is. And God bless him, 11 assists. He's still finding ways to contribute. But, I mean, at some point, you've got to say enough is enough. 3 points, 1 of 5 shooting. Something's got to change. Something's got to change with the way things are run. And I'm not saying bench T. I'm not saying that at all. Don't hear it that way. What I am saying is there's got to be a come-to-Jesus moment that the coaching staff has with Teague and with the way that they're playing him, because something is not working. He played 28 minutes, and I think it's good that they didn't push him into like a 30-minute game again. But something, even in that 28 minutes, there's still so many spots where he's just really stagnant, and he's really stagnating the offense. He's not moving the ball around as well as you would hope. And there were a couple moments in that game in the third quarter, I believe it was. There was a couple moments where he was playing off ball, and he was able to grab a couple of assists off ball when he was playing off. I believe it was Tyus Jones that was out with him out there, and it actually looked pretty good. There was a few times where they passed around the perimeter and then were able to get Towns in the post with one-on-one defense and able to produce a bucket. And it resulted after three passes, one of those being from Teague, who was playing off ball. And when you play like that, it grabs an assist. Teague is still a really smart basketball player, and he still is able to find guys. And it seems like maybe experimenting with him off ball a little bit might actually help this team, because there are just some plays, man, where you shake your head and you don't know exactly what Teague was thinking on that play, and you don't know exactly what the end game was, but they end in a silly turnover or a really contested shot, and it's just confusing. It just shows that there's still plenty of kinks to work out in this team. And that's what happens when you play a team like the Warriors, right? You see the differentiation between, because you play the Bulls and you play the Cavs and you think we're doing better, and they are doing better, but then you see them play against the Warriors and you say, this is still the space that's there, right? This is the gap that's between the best and where we are at right now. And there's the gap, and that's still the area of lacking. So hopefully they can look at some of the things they did. They can learn from some of those things. They can learn from some of the mistakes. I think another one of those mistakes is not playing Josh Okogie enough. I really do. I mean, when he's out there, the tempo is different. The team plays with more energy. It looks like they get more juice. And he only played 2.5 minutes in this game. I would have loved to see him play more. I would really love to see him play more basketball. And I think that he could have really helped maybe try and get some activity going for this Timberwolves team in the second half, really helped them bounce into this game. I mean, after that third quarter, you went toe-to-toe with the Warriors, 33-33 in that second quarter. Excuse me, is what I meant. In that second quarter, when you're going into the half and you say, okay, we got a lot of momentum and energy in that quarter. We really played well with them. 33 points that quarter. what do we do? Let's throw Derrick Rose, let's throw Okogie out there. Let's really try and pick up the pace. Really throw them out there with guys like Covington, guys like Towns. Really try and pick up the pace. Really try and play fast. Spread the offense out and then make space for Towns. Really try and just run at them. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But at least you went down swinging. And they just didn't plan that much. And I think it would have really helped them. But those are the two big things. Is Teague maybe playing more off ball? He's starting to be really hard to defend, even though I'm still going to go to bat for this guy. And Okogie really needs to play more. I know that finding minutes is tough, but they're there. You can play him more. I don't know if playing Gorgie 13 minutes was the answer, but I think that playing Okogie more than two would have definitely helped. It would have definitely helped. It wouldn't have hurt them, that's for sure. We're going to get to a break for some sponsors, and then we're going to talk about the silver lines in this game. First, some sponsors. This episode is sponsored by Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and effectively deliver heat via heating panels similar to a heated car seat. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion batteries that last up to 12 hours on each charge. Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget while you're wearing them. Perfect for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skis, snowboards, or anybody that loves the outdoors and hates being cold. Action Heat clothing provides toasty warmth and comfort for your whole body, including heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns. You can stay warm and cozy from head to toe with Action Heat. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. Make winter activities more enjoyable with a blast of warmth. Action Heat is the perfect solution to keep you toasty warm, even in the most frigid weather. And special to this segment, my Action Heat player actually goes to a couple players, Dario Saric and Derrick Rose. Dario Saric got the most minutes he has gotten this season with the Timberwolves at 30, and he and Derrick Rose combined for 34 points off the bench. That is more points than the entire Warriors bench scored combined. And so Dario Saric and Derrick Rose, those are my Action Heat hot players of the show, hot players of the segment. Again, Action Heat. We've got a special deal for our listeners to save up to 20% on entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon to check out everything Action Heat has to offer. That's actionheat.com/lockedon or use the coupon code LOCKEDON at checkout to save 20%. Stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat. And we thank them for sponsoring the podcast. Again, Action Heat, make sure you're going and checking that out to stay warm this winter. And you know what? I'm sure, I can't speak for them, but I bet you that Derrick Rose and Dario Saric would want you to check out Action Heat because they are our Action Heat hot players of last night's game, scoring more points, the two of them, than the entire Warriors bench combined. Action Heat, make sure to go check them out. All right. Speaking of silver linings, that was a perfect way to segment into the silver lines of this game. First of all, Towns, really, really good game. 31 points, 11 rebounds, 73% shooting from the field. He looked fantastic, and there was really they did not make it easy on him, and the Wolves' offense at the end there really didn't do him any favors, but he was dominant, especially early on in this game. He did a good job of taking advantage of some matchups and posted 13 points in that first half and went on in the second half to throw up 18 more. And really in that third quarter, he played really, really exceptional basketball. I know that 8 points doesn't leap off the page, but also he had the 6 rebounds and only 2 turnovers. I was impressed with Towns this game because you go in and you know that you're going to have an advantage at Towns, and you know that you can kind of do some things against this Warriors front court. But to be able to go in again in that stage, in that arena, and to be able to take advantage of that stuff, is another thing. And so it's encouraging to see him do that kind of stuff. And it's encouraging to see him do that kind of stuff consistently this season, as opposed to last year. While he still had a good year last year, it wasn't as consistent, him just taking over portions of games. And I felt like he really did that this game. And I like what I'm seeing from Towns. Hopefully that translates to some wins on the back end of this road trip. I also liked what I saw from Wiggins. I know that he started out rough, and it looked like him and Teague were kind of going to be the detriment of this team early on that first half. But he ended with 20 points, ended 40% shooting, really got it together, really started knocking down some shots from outside. He also shot 83% from the free throw line, which I know is a little thing, especially when you only go and have six attempts from the free throw line. But for Wiggins, I think it's a big deal, and I think it shows that he's starting to find a shot and starting to find maybe a little bit of a rhythm. And for him to be able, like I was talking about with Daniel Hardy yesterday, he said that the Warriors are going to give him open looks, which they did in that first half. The Warriors are going to give you open looks. Their defense is a little bit of a dick. It's a little bit of a dick because they're not going to guard you if they don't think they have to. And for Wiggins, that could be a big deal because sometimes he's a little bit of a head case. Sometimes his mental state not super good in these games, but he was able to pull himself out of that, pull himself out of a slow first half, and really have a solid second half and really finish out the game well. 12 points in that second half, and he shot 3 of 6 from outside. 3 of 6 from outside, knocking down 50% of his three-point shots, which was a big deal to keep this close. And after only 8 points in that first half, it was good to see him jump back into it. And then the last silver lining, Derrick Rose has been out of his mind. He's been absolutely out of his mind. 21 points, another 20-point game off the bench. He looked fantastic. He was knocking down everything from mid-range. He couldn't be stopped. And then he started shooting from outside and knocked down some three-point shots. He shot 44% in this game, 66% from outside. He had 4 assists to go with his 21 points. Of the things that are confusing about this backcourt for the Timberwolves, Derrick Rose is definitely not one of those pieces. He's definitely become a reliable piece, and not only reliable, but an efficient basketball player. And the Timberwolves, I don't even want to know where they'd be without his play this season. But thank God for Derrick Rose, and he is definitely one of the silver linings. If you can get Towns, Wiggins, and Rose to really show up together in the first half of these games against the Kings and the Suns. The Kings, who are kind of on a bit of a backslide, and the Suns, who are just a god-awful team. You're going to end up with 2 wins, and you're going to go 2-2 in this road trip. Something you can definitely stomach, especially after the tough teams you have to play at the start of it. If you can go 2-2, something you can definitely stomach on this road trip, and that's going to be big going forward. We're going to take another quick break for some sponsors, and then we're going to get to why the end of this road trip is so important. But first, some sponsors. All right, so the Timberwolves are finishing out against the Kings and against the Suns. And these are important for a couple reasons. First of all, if you're looking, and again, I'm going to do this a couple times. I don't care if it's a little ambitious or a little overzealous at this time in the season, but we're almost at the halfway point in the NBA season, and the Timberwolves are just on the outside looking in on the playoffs, 13-14 right now this morning. And if you can pull a couple wins out, not only is a win over Sacramento good because they are that ninth spot right behind Dallas and the eighth seed, but if you can go 2-2, and assuming over the next couple of days that Sacramento and Dallas break even or lose some games, you could bump up over the next 4 days. You could bump up into that fourth seed at going 2-2, because Dallas 14-11, Sacramento 14-12. If they lose a couple of games and you're at 15-14, you could potentially leapfrog some teams up there. And so these games are important, and these are also two teams. I know that the Kings beat them earlier, but these are also two teams that you really should beat. The Kings are on a bit of a slide down from the mountaintop that they started the season on. The defensive problems that they had early on that they were kind of masking with really crazy up-tempo pace and transition have really come back to bite them. And so if you lose to the Kings, that's not great, and losing to the Suns is just unforgivable because they're 4-23. They're god-awful, and you need – these are two games in a season where you really can't, and I mean really can't, because you added more talent. There's more – I mean, Denver's looking really good. The Clippers are playing out of their minds. The Lakers are really good. Memphis is actually playing really solid defense and playing themselves into a pretty good position as of right now. The way this playoff picture is looking, I mean, Timberwolves, Spurs, Jazz, Rockets, Pelicans, all those teams were playoff teams last year, and they're all not in the playoffs this year. And so these teams, you can't think that at least three of these teams aren't going to make a push. And so this is a very crowded playoff field, more crowded than last year somehow. And so you cannot drop these games against these bad teams. And you cannot drop these games against teams that you have better talent than. And while Sacramento has been playing well, you have more talent than Sacramento. You just do. Towns is better than anybody on the Sacramento team. Rose should be able to beat anybody on the Sacramento team. Wiggins should play better than anybody on the Sacramento team. You have better talent. You have better talent. And you got to get that talent to show up. You've got to play really well. You've got to go out and get wins because this is a team you should beat. I know that they have a better record, and I know that they played really well the beginning of the season, but the fact of the matter is that you just have better talent than this team, and you've got to go out and grab wins, and you've got to finish out this road trip well, because the rest of the month, we went over earlier, but the rest of the month, you're playing some really good teams at home too, and so you need to be able to pick up some wins against bad or against teams that you have more talent than on the road, because at home, it's not going to get any easier for the Timberwolves, and so these are really, really important games, and while I don't want to put enough emphasis on it to where if they lose one of these games, You think that you should sell stock on the Timberwolves, there is a cause for concern about how seriously the Timberwolves are taking some of these games if you continue to drop games like this 2 years in a row when you're fighting for playoff spots. I mean, obviously, a couple of years ago when they were a bad team who was playing for draft picks and just playing to get their guys' experience, sure, you drop a game against a bad opponent, that carries less weight. But now, if you have a team that 2 years in a row consistently can't beat teams they're supposed to beat or should beat, you got to worry a little bit, just a little bit, about how seriously this team is taking these games and how seriously they're taking playoff spots and things like that. You want showing that they can lock in and fix some problems and come out strong to finish out this road trip is important for the Timberwolves. And then you look at the games they have after this. You play the Kings at home, but then you play the Pistons at home. You're on the road to the Spurs, and you're on the road to the Thunder. Those are three tough games. The Pistons have a really, really good front court with Griffin and DeAndre Drummond. The Spurs have given the Timberwolves trouble, even though they just waxed them. I'm still not going to underestimate Popovich. And then the Thunder have been playing like the best team in the West for the last few weeks and have been really hot and have gotten everything clicking with Paul George and Russell Westbrook. Everything have been clicking around them. And so those are going to be tough games. Those are going to be tough games. And you need to be able to close out on this road trip well, because those are not guaranteed wins, those three games. And those are the four games you have after you finish up this West Coast stint. So closing out this road trip well is crucial for the Timberwolves, really crucial. Hopefully they can do it. We're going to get to the individual matchups in both these games throughout the week. But just drawing your attention, you should be tuning into these games because these are important games. And it's important to see how they play and how they lock in to lesser competition after trying and failing to overcome some upper-tier competition in the Trailblazers and the Warriors. It'll be interesting to see, and I think it'll say a little bit about this team and about their mental toughness to close out this road trip, another West Coast road trip in the first few months of the season. So that's all I got for you guys. Thank you so much for tuning in and listening to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.